Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. God, we pray that the proclamation of your word today causes someone to know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. For Christ's name, amen. First of all, I want to begin by thanking the congregation in supporting me on the upcoming trip to Germany. I will be leaving next Saturday morning to go and study in Germany. It's an all-expense-paid trip, not by this church. Let's make that clear. This church is not paying for this trip. It's by an organization in Germany that's trying to recruit pastors, Lutheran pastors specifically, to come and explore Germany, Wittenberg, and some of the sites of Martin Luther, study the Reformation, and then come back and hopefully organize tours to Germany with their congregation or their community. So I got the notice a couple of weeks ago, and as soon as I got the notice, I sent a reply. I want to be a part of this group. And I said, you know, and then I went on to look for airfare. So I want to thank Bethel for supporting me in this venture. And I am really looking forward to going to Germany for several reasons. First of all, not only to study Luther, but also to have an experience, a firsthand experience of the Berlin Wall. I will get in a day early, so I plan to visit some of the Nazi concentration camps. And I also want to experience, as a black man, how black people are treated in Germany. And so for those reasons, I am really looking forward to going there to have not an experience that I read about in books, that I saw on television or someone else told me that might be true or might apply to me or might not apply to me, but a firsthand experience so I can say, this is what I experienced when I was in Germany. So I ask this time, next week, I will probably be on a bus tour coming back from the Berlin Wall or visiting one of the concentration camps in Germany. And it sounds rather morbid to want to go to those camps, but when I was in Africa, in West Africa, I also visited the slave castles there. And part of that experience is just seeing how human beings can treat other human beings. And this is a perfect segue into my message for today, because I changed my message for today from a focus on the parables because of just some of the things that are happening in the news. I had multiple conversations with people this week about the effects of the news on their psyche and their stress level. I just had a text from a friend in New York who said she is just so stressed out every time she turns on the news. And she attributed to all of the things that this current administration is doing that's causing people stress and the hatred and the venom that seems to be perpetrated. Now, let me say this. I know all about the separation of church and state, and I also know that I have a platform that is not fair, because I can stand up here and espouse my opinions and not give you as listeners a chance to respond. So I do not take advantage of that. And I try to be neutral in terms of how I communicate my likes or dislikes for things that are happening. But this is mainly in response to some of the conversations that I've had. And the conversations I've had caused me to change my message for today from the parables to those two lessons that Lisa just read for us. And it caused me, when I read those lessons, I started to think, which is greater? Which is greater? And I want you to think about that. Which one is greater? The Great Commission versus the Great Commandment. The Great Commission, which is what? Go and make disciples of all people, or the Great Commandment? And are they mutually exclusive? Did Christ tell me that following the Great Commission, going to all the world and teach the gospel, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Is that more important than the great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself? Which one is better? Which one is more powerful? Are they mutually exclusive? You want to talk to me for a minute? What are your thoughts? Lamb, it's so good to see you. I looked out and I smiled and I said, we haven't seen Lamb in a while. We need the mic to be passed around. The great commission or the great commandment?
So what I understood from what was read about the great commission, it is to teach what Jesus taught. And if Jesus taught the great commandment, then you can't have the great commission without a full embodiment and really putting forth the great commandment. Amen. So I think they're connected.
Y'all trying to take my job. Anybody else want to add to that? I mean, I mean, come on, Lamb. You haven't been here in a couple of weeks, and you come and you. I'm going out of town next week. You can have it. Very well said. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment. I don't know that I'll add much to that, but maybe we'll just unpack some of that. There are really two key teachings in the Christian beliefs. The question that I pose for us is today, how social justice issues have divided the church into two camps. There are two camps of thoughts as it relates to these two key teachings. And evangelism, which speaks to the Great Commission, going to all the world. Or social involvement, which speaks to the Great Commandment. These are the two camps. One writer named Bro Cassetto says this: most people are creeped out by, cringe at, and are uncomfortable and want to run away from the word evangelism. That's the Great Commission. Evangelism, which speaks to witnessing or sharing our faith. Lutherans don't do that very well. Because for most Lutherans, not any people here, but for most Lutherans, faith is a private thing. You don't talk about your faith. You don't share. But it's interesting that in the name of the denomination, it says Evangelical Lutheran Church. What's up with that? If to be evangelical means to share your faith, then what you got it in your name for if you don't want to do it? Anyway, that's a whole nother section. It's a horrible image. Evangelical or evangelism is an image of some Bible-toting, scripture-quoting, proselytizing people attempting to strike the fear of God in people's heart. They're pushy and they're agenda driven and they're careless with humanity and they're being slick like a used car salesman. And they're non-authentic. I grew up in a denomination like that. In the Pentecostal church, I can take you to a point downtown Los Angeles and 7th Street and Hill. To this day, I get triggered when I go to that location because my parents would make me stand on that location and pass out tracts to people telling them, you're going to hell if you don't know Jesus. Why else has evangelism gotten a bad name? Because they're perceived as people who are a commission. Go. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Evangelism, as a result, has become a curse. It's become a curse word. And many Christians, Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Pentecostal, don't want anything to do with evangelism. I can be a private Christian. Nobody needs to know. It's keeping on the down low. Nobody needs to know. But does it have to be that way is the question. So the first camp of thought argues that evangelism is the essential solution for common social dilemmas. You got hunger in the world? Tell them about Jesus. You got on homelessness in the world? Tell them about Jesus. You got racism in the world? Tell them about Jesus. Don't deal with the issue, just tell them about Jesus. Where have we seen this? In the whole campaign, in all of these evangelical churches. I can talk Bible with all of my evangelicals from Genesis to Revelation, but don't let me talk about racism. Don't let me bring up the subject of women who are being trafficked for their bodies. Don't let me talk about the NIMBYs in your backyard that are sleeping on the streets while you're sleeping on your Posturepedic mattress. Just tell them about Jesus. Just tell them about Jesus. And so, one camp says that our responsibility as Christians is to follow the Great Commission. Jesus said this when he was leaving earth. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you shall be a great evangelist. Where do you fall in that camp? A second camp of teaching in the church emphasizes direct social involvement as the only expression of the gospel. So this camp would say, if somebody's hungry, don't tell them about Jesus. Give them something to eat. They can hear a lot better on a full stomach than they can in the name of Jesus. Evangelism is a term that has been co-opted by Christian nationalistic group and includes, and it leads towards, because they say it leads towards some worldly perspective. Worldly perspective. The question is, how do we reconcile these two camps? How do we reconcile these, what appear to be competing positions? Tell them about Jesus. Love them. Tell them about Jesus. Love them. Is it either or? Come on, I really want you to talk back to me today. Is it either or? Can I only proclaim the gospel and not worry about where you at? Come on, talk. Don't put the mic down, Shane. Let people talk. You're going to help me preach today. Could both social justice and spreading the Christian gospel by witness of public preaching and biblical mandate, as seen in the Old Testament and seen in the person of Jesus, be done together? Or does it have to be either or?
I think it's much more effective to live and do what Jesus said to live and do. And then when they notice the living and doing and how much you love and care for them, then you can, and they wonder, what is it that's in you? And then you can tell them about Jesus and they want to hear it. But if you're just preaching and you're not feeding, I don't think it does any good.
Anyone else? I've only got two helpers today so far. The Bible, yes.
I have a good example of that. I had surgery and I had friends calling and saying, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. But I had a friend in Georgia who said, we'll pray for you, and sent me food, and I really appreciated that.
Amen. So you mean that friend loved and did some action?
Not exactly on this point, but I have a question for the people, and you were one of them handing out material saying, if you don't have Jesus in your life, then you're going to hell. What I wonder is that assuming the person has considered Jesus and rejected Jesus, as opposed to somebody who lives in Kyrgyzstan has never heard of him?
Well, I think when my parents and I were doing that, the assumption was that we're on a mission following the Great Commission to lead as many people to Christ as possible. And so the church I grew up in operated on the assumption that everybody you encounter is either a Christian or not Christian. And so you're constantly trying to convert. It's really a layered thing, and it would take a while to unpack it, because so much of that was driven by the fact that, you know, the scripture, for those of you who are familiar with the scripture, it talks about getting stars on your crown in heaven. So there's almost this incentive to, I'm going to win as many souls to Christ as possible because I want a starry crown, you know.
Ohio State, they put the stars on their helmets.
There you go. There you go. There you go. So what is this being driven by, love for Christ? Is this being driven by a love for the person that you are witnessing to or trying to proselytize or trying to convert? Or is this being driven by an incentive to have more stars on my crown? Because if I have 98 and you only have 50, Kenya, that means I'm a better witness than you were. Or if you have 100 and I have 25, you get to the higher level of heaven. That's the kind of stuff that's talked about in the Latter-day Saints, not in the Christian faith. So the church has two mandates. One that appears to be cultural in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. A lawyer comes to Jesus and he says, which is the greatest commandment? And that's what's in question today. Which is the greatest commandment for you and I? Which of these two is more important for you and I to follow? Jesus responded, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it as well. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, Jesus said, hangs all of the laws of the prophets. That's the first mandate. The second mandate is given to the church is usually associated with the great commission found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. This mandate is given to the new humanity in Christ, the church, the body of Christ that we call church, which the risen Lord commands to make disciples of all nations. Now, since neither of these mandates have been rescinded, does the cultural mandate go or come before the evangelical mandate? That's the question I want you to ponder in your heart. Are both of these mandates equally applicable and relevant for Christian living today? Making disciples, loving people. Because it seems to me what I hear a lot on the news from a lot of these evangelical churches that they're ready to make disciples, but they hate a lot of people. So what is Jesus calling us to do? Is it either or? What kind of gospel is it that says I can preach Jesus who told us to love? I can preach Jesus who told us to care for our neighbors. I can preach Jesus, but I can hate people? What is Jesus calling us to do? And what kind of Jesus is this that says, win people to me, but I'm going to hate them? Win people to me, but I'm going to let them starve to death. Win people to me, but I don't care if they don't have a place to live. Win people to me, but make sure they know that they're inferior because they're a woman, because they're gay, because they're black. What kind of Jesus is this? I told somebody the other day, and I'm flying from the seat of my pants today. I told somebody the other day, I said, I don't have a problem with Jesus. I got a problem with Christians. And this is a preacher, I told this. And I told another preacher, I said, you clearly are not serving the same God that I'm serving. Not because of who you voted for, but because you can see all of the evil that's coming out of this office and still say that's a man of God. Can still say that God put this person in office. What God put people in? Now, let me be clear. I don't hold out any hope that things would be peachy keen if the other candidate had won. So let's just keep it real. But I would hope there would not be as much venom. I'm a registered independent. I think both parties suck. I think both parties are full of liars and thieves and people who are stuck on egos. This is not my platform to do that, so let me zip. The Great Commission is an official sanction, and the Great Commandment is a cultural mandate. That's what people say when they want to separate the two. If you got something to say in the chat, please type it in, because I will stop and read it. And someone just typed something in. It's from Terry. Terry says, faith without works is dead. You can't love Christ and sit and do nothing. That's right. And Stephanie says, yes, Christian nationalism equals Pharisee. I've said it before in sermons that I preach. How in the H-E double hockey sticks can I love God who I do not see? And I can't stand you who I see every day. What kind of Christianity, what kind of faith, what kind of commission is that? Jesus spent most of his time on the earth advancing a theology of love. Love your neighbor. It's surpassed only by our love for God. Nevertheless, the evidence of our love for God is our love for neighbor. Is there an intimate connection between what I preach and how I live? Can I preach the Great Commission and live hate? Four new messages. Can I preach the Great Commission? Yeah, will you read the messages as they come up, Kenya?
Stephanie just said, hate is not one of the fruits of the labor God spoke about. I think similarly to hate is indifference, because I do see and hear a lot of people that they don't necessarily hate, but if it's not their people or their group, they're just indifferent.
Yeah.
Which is almost... is it just as bad? Just the indifference. This.
Yes.
And I will even go as far as saying, now, I told you I'm a registered independent. Another thing is, I'm an immigrant. I came to this country from Jamaica. I am a naturalized citizen. My daughters are all American citizens. I'm a naturalized citizen. So it blows my mind when other immigrants talk about getting rid of the immigrants. Heck, we all immigrants are here. Send all of the Jews back to Jerusalem. Send all of the Swiss back to Switzerland. Send all of the Germans back to Germany. Send all of the Africans back to Africa where you stole them from and enslaved them. Send all of the Dutch back to Denmark. And then give this country back to the Native Americans that you stole it from. And then we won't talk about immigration. So when I hear immigrants talk about the immigration policy, and you got a president whose wife is an immigrant talking about sending all the immigrants back. Is this Great Commission and Great Commandment a theological mistake to identify them as working together for the kingdom of God? What's involved in loving God? And what's involved in loving my neighbor? Talk to me. What's involved in loving God? And what's involved in loving... LaKenya, will you please monitor the chat and just... Yeah. What's involved in loving God and what's involved in loving my neighbor?
Terry says doing his will.
Doing God's will. What is God's will? Not judgment, condescending, fundamentalist.
No. Terry says to love one another.
If we say we love God completely, without reservation, can we avoid that all-consuming love? Can we avoid sharing that all-consuming love with our neighbor? If I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and my strength, can I avoid sharing that love with my neighbor? Another question. If we love our neighbor, will we share with them the Great Commission? If we say we love God completely without reservation, won't that love call us to minister to human needs?
Yes.
Not just the needs of the here and now, but the hereafter. The Great Commission's, I've bit off more than I can chew here. But the Great Commission instructs us to make disciples by teaching them to be, and Lamb, you nailed it before we even started, by teaching them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded. That's what the Great Commission says. Observe all that Jesus has commanded. So, wouldn't observing all that Jesus commanded include the Great Commandment?
Yes.
So love is a fundamental principle upon which love is the fundamental principle upon which the Great Commission stands. Are you seeing that? Love, here's love. This is the fundamental principle upon which the Great Commission stands. So this is the Great Commandment. It's the foundation of the Great Commission. I can't share the gospel with you and not love you. I can't share the gospel with you and see you in a situation that I have the power or the ability to transform, to change, to impact, and leave you where you are. Just here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. Confess your sins. Get baptized. Join the church. Start paying your tithes. You hungry? Here's Jesus. I don't care about your hunger, at least not your physical hunger. You on house? Find a way to, maybe you should pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You experiencing racism? That is not a Christian issue. That's a political issue. Just take Jesus. Love meets the total needs of an individual and cannot be limited to any one area. Spiritually, physically, socially, or emotionally. It covers it all. I love this quote by John Stout. He says, our neighbor is neither a bodiless soul that we should love only their soul, nor a soulless body that we should care for its welfare alone, nor even a body soul isolated from society. It's both. God created humans who are my neighbors, a body and a soul in a community. Therefore, if we love our neighbor as God made them, we must inevitably be concerned. They don't have any food to eat. If we're following the Great Commission to tell them the gospel, then we ought to be concerned that they're sleeping on the streets. If we're following the Great Commission to share the love of Christ with them, then we ought to be concerned that there are laws that are being passed that are hurting people. I'm done. I got a lot more to say, but that's where I've been all week. In one conversation I had this weekend, I told several people, I said, I don't watch the news anymore. It's too stressful. You do you, but I will not turn. Since the election, I have not turned on the news in my house. Now, when I'm at the gym working out, they have Fox and CNN, MSNBC, and every now and then I look up and I say, oh, that's what I missed. Let me take my eyes off of that. I'm aware, I read a lot, but I choose what I read. I choose who I'm, maybe I follow AP News because it's real news. What I want you to struggle with is what I struggle with all week long. Which one am I gonna follow? And does following one exclude the other? The Great Commission? Great Commandment. How can I do one without the other? How can I do this and not do this? How can I say I love you, but I really don't care what kind of condition you're living under? How can I say I love you and Jesus loves you? When I don't care that I'm in a position that I'm making laws that are really killing you. Because I'm more concerned about power. I'm more concerned about prestige. I'm more concerned about my ego than I am about pulling people up from their desperate state. I love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I may not love you. Jesus loves you. Because if I loved you, I couldn't see you in the state that you're in and not work towards getting something better for you. So where do you land? You don't have to tell me, but I want you to struggle with it just like I did this whole week. Where do you land as a person of faith? Where do you land as a citizen of this nation? Where do you land as someone who gathers every Sunday to worship God? I'm following the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm following the Great Commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength. And for some of us, that's just where it stopped, loving God. But they don't listen to the second half, and your neighbor as yourself. How do you love yourself? Let's pray. God, thank you for the challenge that you have helped me to continue to wrestle with all week long. What are you calling us to do? Who are you calling us to be? Is it enough that I wear a sign on the back that says, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I know the Apostles' Nicene Creed, I even know the Athanasian's Creed. I know all of the hymns of the church. I know how to quote scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. I know the Great Commission and I know the Great Commandment. You place those before us today, God, and we ask that you help us to wrestle with that. In Jesus' name.